Law Focus Podcast. Law Focus. Point of information.
It has just gone 6 minutes after 7 o'clock this evening. Good evening and welcome to Law Focus. You are tuned into VFM 88.1. My name is Millicent Ndiweni and I am going solo for the evening because Tapo is not here today, but you will definitely hear his voice again next year, early next year sometime when we will again resume our shows because today is the last show for the year. Thank you so much for joining us tonight and do welcome to Law Focus. Remember that Law Focus is a show that aims to deal with issues relating to legal matters, and our objective is to inform you about the law, about your rights, and to also take current issues that are relevant and bring the law into it and help you understand them clearer. And that is precisely what we're going to be doing this evening. And as I did say that this is our final show, we do want to try and empower you as much as possible before we disappear for the festive break. If you have just tuned into the station, I suggest that you do stay with us for the next hour because we are going to kind of be giving you free legal advice, basically. We are going to be talking about some of the things that happened during the festive period. Some of them are unprecedented and unforeseen situations that we find ourselves in, and we need to know then how to legally respond to them. And we hopefully going to give you that kind of information to assist you going forward. We will have a question and answer session with our legal practitioner, Phineas Mukwena. He has been here before. I will introduce him later during the course of the show. He comes to us from Legal Aid, and he's going to be the one who's going to help us navigate these issues about how to cooperate during check stops, during roadblocks, what information you need to make sure that when you are asked for it by law enforcement officers, you actually do give, and what else it is that you don't necessarily have to reveal. You are not obliged to do so. So you need to make sure that you know your rights. If you also find yourself in a situation where you are arrested, we obviously would prefer for you and really do advise that you always, always, always obey the law at all times and avoid as much as possible unnecessary trouble with the law, such as drinking and driving, as well as assaults. But we do understand that sometimes you do find yourself in such a sticky situation, both as a victim or as a perpetrator. And if you do find yourself in that kind of situation, we want to empower you with the basics of how to handle the drama further. Don't forget that you can follow us on Twitter and engage with us. We would love to hear your contributions. Any questions that you have, any comments that you would like to make, do add to the conversation by going to @VowFM using the hashtag LawFocus, or you can talk to us on WhatsApp, and the number to dial is 084-078-4912. We will continue repeating these during the course of the show so that you can get your pen and paper ready to take them down if you would like to contribute. We do have podcasts available, iono.fm, or you can simply visit vits.journalism.co.za/law, and you will search Law Focus and you can find any topics that we have engaged in during the course of the year and even previous years as well for your own reference. You are tuned into Law Focus on VFM 88.1, and coming up after this break will be our legal hotspots, which are the hottest stories of the week. My name is Millicent Ndiweni and I am your host for Law Focus this evening.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week is Legal Hotspots.
Okay, so in our legal hotspots this week, if you don't read the news, I'm going to basically give you the news right now. President Ramaphosa has signed into law the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Bill. So basically, that is a bill that gives the Khoisan community much more power than they've ever had. Its leaders and its structures can now be recognized by customary law. This is a very, very important step in recognizing the Khoisan as an indigenous community in South Africa. And the bill will accord them that status. It will put them on the pedestal of traditional knowledge, which includes that of them being leaders in indigenous knowledge about indigenous plants. It will also grant them their languages equal access with other languages in the country, which I think they really do deserve. And it will give them the legal power to address all their land concerns, ensuring that they can actually fully access structurally all tiers of government. So they can participate in the executive, the judicial, and the legislative spheres of government. And that is really about being fully part of the democratic dispensation of South Africa. So this bill should really, really be about mending the damage that has been done to the Khoisan communities for over 300 years now. That's a long, long time. So, yeah, hopefully that goes well. In our second story this evening, the bishop teacher, who was basically alleged, well, at first she was alleged to have had illicit sexual conduct with some pupils, at least five pupils from the high school, have been named, underwent a investigation by the school. But following the investigation, where indeed, it has come to light that she did behave, disorderly, there was sexual misconduct on her part, she actually will not undergo any disciplinary measures. Shocking, right? Because, I mean, she did breach the Bishop's Code of Professional Conduct for Teaching Staff and the Code of Professional Ethics issued by the South African Council of Educators. What we do know is that her specific misconduct is alleged to have been of her sending sexual photographs and videos of herself. You may wonder, okay, so if the evidence is there and the internal investigation have found her guilty, why is she not going to be disciplined? Well, the reason that the school has cited for not taking any disciplinary action against Ms. Fiona Viotti is that she has resigned. She resigned on the 11th of October this year. And the teacher's lawyer came to her defense saying that she was never really given an opportunity to be interviewed and tell her side of the story. But besides that, he also did say that she really should not speak on the matter. She has since undergone some psychiatric sessions. And although no police case has been opened against the teacher, the South African Council of Educators is looking into it. And should she be found guilty, she is likely to be struck off the role as a teacher. In our final story this evening, it's a very sad one, and it does really introduce the topic that we're going to be having this evening. It's that of the Clifton party that takes place every single year. So in Cape Town, there is the culture of celebrating the end of matric exams with a beach party by the Clifton community. And unfortunately, this year's ended in a tragedy. So this past Saturday evening, scores of matriculants arrived at the beach and for the annual celebration. And although the ward council of the area did say that he immediately tried to alert authorities to ensure that there should be additional security for the youth who were there, the South African Police Services could not be reached, the station commander whom he was trying to communicate with. And so there were no police in the vicinity. I know there were others. There's a different type of security measure that they did have, but it was just not enough. And at around 10:45 that evening, a young boy from Langa was sadly stabbed and subsequently passed away. The circumstances leading up to his stabbing are not known, and police investigations are currently underway. These are our legal hotspots this week. I mean, there's so much more that we could have spoken about, that we could have included, because this being South Africa, there's so much that goes on a daily basis. And unfortunately, we only have, a few stories that we can bring to you. But definitely when we do continue next year, I'm sure there's going to be many, many more that we'll be continuing with from this year court cases that have been taking place, commissions of inquiry that have been taking place, and we will definitely bring to your attention all that and more. These are our legal hotspots, and coming up after this, we are going to get into our interview with Mr. Phineas Mokoena. Do stay tuned to VFM 88.1.
Rounding up all the top stories of the week is Legal Hotspots. Listening to Law Focus? Connect with VFM 88.1 on Twitter and Facebook. Be your own lawyer.
Thank you for joining us again. It has just gone after 7:15 this evening. My name is Millicent Ndiweni, and I am your host for Law Focus this evening. If you want to join our conversation, you can go to Twitter at VFM using the hashtag LawFocus. Alternatively, you may use our WhatsApp number 084-078-4912, and you can post your questions or your comments. What we are talking about this evening is just a basic Q&A session with a legal practitioner about some of the hiccups that do happen during the festive season. I mean, they can happen any other time of the year, I guess, but we want to just talk about festive season, kind of casualties in particular, and how we should be solving them legally. So this is just free legal advice for you right now. He has not been paid. He is such, I mean, this is amazing for you to just come and, you know, do this without any salary. Pela, lawyers, barata chelete. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Phineas Mokoena. He does come to us from Legal Aid South Africa. Legal Aid is an institution that helps with free legal advice. It is, the state does compensate, yeah, for monies that ordinary citizens can't afford when they do need to see a doctor of the law. And he is here to basically help us in that regard. He has been here before, and it is our second time. He spoke to us earlier, during the year. We're doing minimum sentences, I remember correctly. And he is joining us again. Thank you for coming, and honoring our invitation. How are you?
Good evening, Millicent. Good evening to the listeners of VOW FM. It is such a great honor to be invited to the last show of the year. I didn't know that this is the last show of the year. I'm so happy and I'm so honored.
We all need to sleep at some point and take a break. Otherwise, ish, we're ticking. There's a lot.
That's true. How
busy are you as a legal practitioner during this time of the year?
Look, it is always very, very busy. I'm working at Roodepoort Court in the West Rand. It is very, very busy. During this time of the year, many people get arrested. There's a lot of cases on the roll. So we are always busy with bail applications. As we have indicated, most of the time people are arrested for murder cases, assaults, drunken driving. You know, those are the type of offenses that they get arrested for. Mm. So the roll is always going high during this time of the year.
And how does it work? Because courts do close, don't they?
No.
Okay, so I'm confused now. I'm officially confused because I thought around the 15th of, or are those like court cases? What is it? I thought courts does also have some kind of recess, or it doesn't at all?
Look, the regional courts do not have
High
courts do have recess. Okay. But regional courts, district courts do not have recess during this time of the year. Imagine if the courts, like these lower courts, regional courts and district courts could close during this time of the year and people get arrested in big numbers or in large numbers. What would happen to those people, to their families? You know, so we cannot afford to close the courts completely. Okay. But what happens is that, you'll find that in Roodepoort Court, there'll be one or two courts functioning. In Krugersdorp, there'll be one or two courts functioning. In Kagiso Court, just like that. Mm. Not all the courts will be working because many people will be on leave. So there'll be those few courts whereby we'll be dealing with postponements. We'll be dealing mainly with bail applications because bail applications are urgent bail applications. A bail application must be done within a period of 7 days unless there are other reasons which warrant that a bail application be postponed beyond 7 days.
Yeah.
So we cannot afford to close courts during this time of the year.
So when do you get a break?
Look, legally in South Africa, what happens is that there's the so-called skeleton staff. For instance, I'm one of the people who will be on leave, but some of the colleagues will be working as a skeleton.
On a daily basis.
Yes.
Okay.
Up until we are back in January and we are functioning normally.
Yeah.
So then when we come back, those who have been working during festive season then go for leave, or they take a break.
All right. Yes. And so you've mentioned that you find yourself dealing a lot with bail applications.
Yes.
And most of the time you're dealing with issues like assault and drunken driving or murders, or, you know, those kind of things.
Mm.
Is it then the trend during this time that people don't necessarily come for legal advice about other matters necessarily? Like, I don't come and ask about how to buy property or how to, go through a divorce matter. It will literally just have, I would have found myself already in conflict with the law, and then I get an attorney to help me with it. Is that usually what happens during this time?
What usually happens is that, for instance, I'm coming from Krugersdorp local office. We'll be closing on the 13th. Of December.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, then there'll be this skeleton staff. Then those are the people who will be going straight from home. They'll be going straight to court. But then, our national hotline, advice line, if there's anything that you need urgently or you need an advice, that one will always be open. You can always, call that national hotline. Then they will always give you an advice as to what is that you have to do under these circumstances.
Okay. I think you should definitely give us that hotline so that we can, well, we'll do it later if you do have it with you,
yes,
so that we can give it to our viewers. Somebody gonna be needing it. Yeah, somebody's definitely gonna be needing it. Let's start with, what are the things that people really can potentially avoid and should avoid during this time that could be an unnecessary, I guess, you know, battle for them with the law? That common sense, but not so common, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it is that time of the year whereby people will be spending their hard-earned cash, you know. They are trying to unwind, and then there's a lot that goes wrong along the way or along the process. So we always have to be very, very careful. A lot of the common factors that actually take place, or offenses that usually take place during this time of the year, is the one that you started with when you started with your show. You alluded to the fact that there is the drink and drive. That is the most common offense that is being committed by a lot of people.
Mm.
You know, I always tell people that do not even drink a glass of wine or a beer during this time of the year, because, okay, the National Road Traffic Act 92 of 1996 says that the legal limit is 0.05 grams per 100 millimeters.
Mm.
But you're a layman. You will not know what
0.05
exactly
millimeters is.
Yes, you will not know what is 0.05 gram per 100 millimeters. Then next thing, you only to find out you have consumed more than that. And if you have exceeded the limit, definitely you will be arrested if you are stopped by the traffic officers, or you are at a roadblock, you know, that type of a thing.
Mm.
So you'll definitely find yourself on the wrong side of the law. You'll have to go to police station, because you'll be arrested, you'll be charged, you'll go to police station, you'll have to hire a lawyer. I've already informed you that legal aid will be closed.
Mm.
And in fact, legal aid does not do police bails. We do not go to police station. We find our clients in courts. You know, so you'll find that you'll have to pay a lawyer. If you are arrested, you'll have to pay bail. Then there is a family which you have to take care of. Schools will be closing in January. So those are the things that you have to avoid, because that is the money which goes to another place or area which you didn't even plan all of a sudden,
right,
just because of being irresponsible or ill-disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say that let's always avoid drink, and thereafter you drive. There are always other avenues. I mean, if you know that you'll be happy, just try to avoid a family friend or a relative or whoever. There's Uber now, there's Taxify, you know.
In the rural areas, do you think Ubers and Taxifiers?
Well, unfortunately, in the rural areas, we do not have such. We only have them here in Joburg. But at least you can always make some means. There is public transport in the rural areas. We have got taxis. We have got, you know, friends there. They will be at home. So those are the people you can always make arrangements with. Make sure that you get someone who's not under the influence of alcohol at all to can drive.
Yeah.
Another offense which usually takes place during this time of the year is speeding.
Mm.
I don't know whether it's because people are driving fast cars or whatever, but people never observe the speed limits, you know. Look, if you are driving at 90 or 80 or 85 kilometers at a 60 kilometer zone, you'll be issued a ticket, traffic ticket.
Right.
But if you exceed 90, I'm saying it is a 60-kilometer zone. Now you have now exceeded 92 or 95, then you are going to be arrested. If you are driving 140, 150 at 120 kilometers zone, you're going to get a ticket. But immediately you exceed 150 upwards.
So it's almost like there's a leniency of 30 kilometers an hour.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Then they will be issued the ticket depending on how much, on the speed that you are driving at. But immediately you exceed that 30 kilometer that at least the government has given leniency on, then there you'll be arrested.
Mm.
So it is always safer to make sure that you do not exceed the speed limit. Keep to the speed limit, you know. That is also one of those
major offenses.
Yes, major offenses. Another offense, it doesn't look like it is a serious offense, but it happens. Usually in the townships, I've noticed that it really takes place. Public drinking. People just walk around here carrying bottles.
Wait, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Even in buses, you know that people take out Black Label in a metro bus.
Imagine.
And it's becoming a culture that it's starting to be normalized, to be quite honest.
Yes.
And I don't remember public drinking being a thing.
Exactly.
In law. Being allowed.
It is not.
And you're saying also that it's not even just people in cars. When you're walking and you're holding alcohol, you are actually out of order.
Exactly. If you're just walking there in the street, you're not in a car, you're out of order.
Wow.
You're not supposed to do that.
Mm.
That is transgression of the law.
Mm.
It's just that, as we have said, it has been normalized. I've seen police officers beat traffic or SAPS. They've been ignoring people in the
streets. Yeah, no one does anything.
No one does anything. And I don't know why. And because those people have to be locked up. Well, I believe it is because of the workload. You know, there's serious offenses which are being committed outside. You feel that, you know, to arrest somebody who's...
It's a waste of resources.
You know, of resources,
a
waste of time, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But that person is not only a danger to himself. He's a danger to other road users. He's a danger to the public.
Right.
So that person has to be arrested. So people have to stop doing that. I hope people would really stop walking around being drunk. Yes. No, it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's really, really wrong. And if the law enforcement officers can really take that seriously, you'll see, then it will be reduced.
I guess a lot of also petty crimes, and not just petty crimes, a lot of crimes generally could also be somewhat reduced if we had, you know, there's a lot of violence that we have.
Exactly.
There's a lot of, you know, we see just drama, chaos, unnecessary chaos in the CBD. If things like that could just be...
Exactly. Because unfortunately, even though people really love alcohol, but alcohol is always a cause of trouble in most cases, as you have said, especially in the CBDs. People just drink there, then that is when now trouble will follow. You know? So, if they can be arrested for that, then it will mean that there'll be less people drinking in public, or there'll be no one drinking in public, then there'll be less crime, or there'll be less problems.
Mm,
you know?
Makes sense.
Yes, because the law says that this person must be arrested, he must be kept in the holding cells, police holding cells, up until they sober up, then you release them.
Okay.
Well, sometimes they can even be given a fine there, 50 rands or whatever, depending on the circumstances of each case. So it is just one of those, but unfortunately, it seems as if nothing is being done about it. And
let me just ask a follow up question then before you give us the other offenses that people tend to do during this time of the year. Is it then likely that during the year we see people doing public drinking and there are seemingly no consequences, but perhaps during this festive period, then you'll find maybe an increase in their arrests. Why would that be the case?
If maybe there may be an increase during this time of day, it will mean that maybe they felt that the law enforcement agencies would have felt that, no, you know what, this is now just getting out of hand. Because now people will be just moving around with bottles, as we have said, drinking in public. Then they will feel that, you know what, let's try to reduce it. Let's at least make some arrests here and there. So sometimes it does happen that during this time of the year, there will be some arrests. They will really not just let it go the way it has been during the course of the year.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah. And then other offenses that we have?
Yes, other offenses. Another offense, actually, is the road rage. You know, I always tell people that a road rage may seem to be a minor offense, but sometimes it develops into something huge.
Yeah. That's why there's case law on it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Ends in a murder.
Exactly. it ends into an assault. If a perpetrator is in possession of a firearm, he produces a firearm, he points to the victim, you can be charged with pointing of a firearm, you can be charged with assault. On few occasions, as we've indicated, rightly so, it ends up causing murder. All of a sudden, a person gets arrested for murder. You know? So, I always say that whenever I drive, because every now and then, you know, I believe you have came across this more often. Just ignore the person.
Ignore.
Just ignore.
Especially as a woman in South Africa, you can't find yourself fighting.
No.
No matter how annoyed you are, no matter how offended you are, and you are in the right, you just, for the sake of your safety, for the sake of your safety, nothing else. You just tell you have to just keep calm and tell yourself, wait a king. I need to ignore this and just move on because your life is at stake.
Exactly. You are 100% correct, Millicent. You just have to ignore because you've got your life, you've got your car, you know. You'll find that you didn't even bump at this person. It's just that you made a mistake along the way. You know, that type of a thing. Then a person starts swearing at you, that type of a thing. You can be charged with criminal injury because to swear at somebody, it's a criminal offense. So there's a lot that can happen from a road rage. As I said, assault, point of firearm, criminal injury, murder, you know, that type of a thing. If, let's say, there's a serious confrontation, I lose something, I go to police station, I report that you robbed me, you know, or you stole something because now I've lost my cell phone along the way. So you can end up finding yourself in trouble just because of a very minor thing you could have avoided, you could have driven away. So a road rage is a major factor, which I am requesting the listeners and everybody who cares to really take into account of that offense.
Right.
Yes. The assault you've already alluded to, they take place at the taverns, you know, at the clubs. So it's always a problem. So those are mostly the offenses we usually experience during this time of the season. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, just to quickly follow up about the drunken driving that we spoke about earlier. You gave us the limits, and you said if you know you're going to be driving, just avoid drinking because you don't know as a lay person what the limits are. Or have someone who is not going to touch alcohol at all to be the one who's going to be behind the driver's seat. Now, there have been, I think, maybe not amendments yet, but there has been some legislation that was hoping to be amended regarding that. So it's not yet place.
No, it's not yet in place.
And that, let's just let the listener know. That legislation, what actually does it say? It doesn't say you should not touch, exactly what you're saying, don't drink at all.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yes, but then it's still being debated, so we do not know what will be the end result of it, but it's not yet in place.
It's not yet in place.
So, at the present moment, the National Road Traffic Act 92 of 1996, the particular section regarding the limit that I've indicated is still doing that.
So we might know maybe next year or so.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Well, it has gone just after 7:30. You are listening to Law Focus with Millicent Ndiweni. I am alone. Tepo is not in today. And we are speaking to legal practitioner, Mr. Phineas Mokoena, who comes to us from Legal Aid. And if you have been listening closely, he's really giving us the do's and don'ts during this festive season. And I think we really should take his advice seriously. It will help save a bit of money and some of your reputation, definitely. Then there's also this issue where you get stopped. I mean, some people maybe are just difficult people. And some people maybe they just, you know your rights too much, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. You should know. We should know our rights too much, you know. And you get stopped by a traffic officer, for instance. How should people respond? Is it really necessary if a traffic officer says, wants you to take a breathalyzer and you are like, no, I don't want to? Are those rights that people have to say no to? Things like showing your license or taking a breathalyzer or are those, yeah.
Thanks, Millicent. I'll try to give you the whole situation as to what is it, the whole procedure that you have to follow as a citizen or a driver when you're being stopped. And I'll also give you what the traffic officer has to do, the procedure that they have to follow, because I'm looking at the time so that I can just try to make sure that I comprehend everything.
Yes, please.
Firstly, when a traffic officer stops you, you have to comply. You have to stop. Try to stop as soon as possible. let's say the traffic officer says he's stopping you because you have jumped the red robot, or you didn't stop at the stop sign. Try to stop as soon as possible, so that you can be able to can see where you have transgressed the law. But now, if you can drive for some time, you know, some 500 meters or a kilometer, then this is when an argument will ensue between you and the traffic officer. No, why did you leave me for such a long period? Blah, blah, blah. Try to stop as soon as possible. Make sure, but you must make sure that you stop where it is safe. Do not encroach the other road users. Make sure that you stop where it is safe, and then switch off the engine, lower the window. Do not go out. Wait for the traffic officer to come to you, then they will introduce themselves. He must or she must introduce him or herself. There must be a name tag. If you're not satisfied that, or maybe no, this is not a traffic or a police officer, you are entitled by law to can ask for an appointment certificate of that person. That appointment certificate must have an identity, rather the face of the traffic officer. If that officer is Phineas Smoko, now you must see the face of that
Phineas. Kind of like an ID.
Exactly. Okay. Yes. So that you can satisfy yourself that indeed this is the law enforcement agents. Especially at night, you know, things happen. For instance, at Mukhale City, I remember some months ago I read in one local newspaper whereby people were impersonating themselves as traffic officers, only to find that they are not.
Mm.
So, especially at night, you must satisfy yourself that the person who's stopping me is a law enforcement agency. You know,
and they will always have a badge.
They will always.
He doesn't, or she doesn't have a badge.
Then that one is not. You don't even have to entertain them. They must have a badge. If not, ask for their appointment certificate. Then they must show you one of the two, either a badge or an appointment certificate. Then you will know that at least now I'm talking to the right person,
okay,
the lawful, or the person who's actually supposed to legally enforce the law.
I'm assuming now that the appointment certificate is something that's very small that they would carry in their pocket.
Exactly.
So it shouldn't be a problem.
No, it shouldn't be.
Okay.
It shouldn't be a problem at all. Then they will do whatever they want to do. If they ask you to produce a license, you must comply. If they say, we feel that, or we suspect that you are under the influence of alcohol, you must submit yourself. You have to comply with the law. You have to do the breathalyzer test. You know, even if you know that you didn't touch anything, but if he has got a reasonable suspicion that you are under the influence, you'll never know. You may think that the person is sober, only to find that they are not. So you have to comply. You cannot resist. Immediately, if you resist, then it means
you are in the wrong.
Yeah, you're in the wrong. So he can now use excessive force to can force you, or else you can even be arrested now, because now you are actually defeating the ends of justice.
And what is excessive force?
We need to help the people. We need to help. Hey?
You know, the phrase excessive force is not really.
It's tricky.
Yes, it's a tricky one. You are right. It's a tricky one because even our Criminal Procedure Act does not really outline what is excessive force. It will depend on the circumstances.
Right.
Yes, because now, not necessarily excessive, but reasonable force. Reasonable. Because excessive force now amounts to assault. You understand?
Okay.
But they must use reasonable force.
And we don't know what reasonable force is.
Yes.
We don't know what reasonable force is. Wow. Okay. So he can open my car door, get out, reasonable force.
No. But then remember, you are being asked now to come out. Now you are refusing.
Oh, okay. So.
Yes.
So keep up.
Exactly. Yes. Now he has to take you, ma'am, because now you are now refusing. You don't want to comply. I'm now using reasonable force.
Okay. Speaking of reasonable force, then, what would be appropriate for a female officer to be the one who attends to a female driver and then a male officer to a male driver? Is that how it works?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly, ma'am. Okay. Then, as I say, you have to comply. You have to do the breathalyzer test. Another thing that you have to know as a driver is the fact that if, let's say, you are stopped at a roadblock, a roadblock must be authorized by law.
But how do you know that?
You are entitled to can ask if you are being stopped. You are entitled to can ask because each roadblock must have a leader, a team leader. It will be the commander or whoever, but there's someone who's appointed there who's a team leader.
What's the relevant question?
Yeah.
What's the relevant question to ask?
I want to know if this roadblock has been authorized. Then that team leader is the one who must produce a document, which must he must produce and say, here's a certificate which is authorized in this roadblock. It was applied for, it was applied on such and such a day. A magistrate so and so is the one who approved this roadblock. It must have all the particulars, the date, the place, the person who authorized it, the person who made an application for it.
Mm.
Yes. Then you know that, okay, this roadblock is a legal roadblock. You are entitled to can ask that.
Wow.
Yes. Then, let's say, the issue of the breathalyzer test. You must make, you are entitled to can ask whoever is operating the calibration machine if this machine has been calibrated. There has to be a calibration certificate to ensure that this machine has been tested. It was tested on such a day, at such and such a time. It is, the name of the machine is this. It is a machine which is, legally authorized to can properly work. So you are entitled to can ask for that. Even the calibration certificate, if you want it, you are entitled to can ask for such information. Mm. Then you'll be given such information.
Okay.
It's just that we do not know these things. That is why we are here, so that you can know these things. Then it will really help you.
I guess about both what you have just said about the roadblocks,
yes,
as well as what you said earlier about the appointment certificates of officers. How do you know that these are actually not forged, that they are real? Is there a way that a person can know?
Look, as I said, the roadblock, if it is authorized, it must be authorized by the court or the magistrate. Then there is someone who is senior, who is also involved, be the station commander. So there has to be a SAPS. Yes, SAPS stamp, then the stamp from the court, at least with signatures. That's the only way at least we can verify or confirm that this is a legitimate roadblock.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is very important information that you're giving us. And yes, I think one of our listeners is actually saying right here that what really are police, well, not just police, but law enforcement officers doing to educate people about the law and their rights. I don't think this is information that the general public has.
Unfortunately, they don't. They don't know. They don't know. Just like this listener, you'll find that he or she didn't even know this information.
No, of course not. You know?
So that is why you guys always have to invite people like us from
like
Legal
you.
In South Africa.
So that you can sort it out. Hey,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Before we take a break,
yes,
let's just go through this one.
Yeah.
You are stopped, fine, you've given us information that no, you can demand, well, I don't know if it's demanding or requesting information to make sure that the person who is stopping you is legit,
yes,
and the reason for them stopping you is actually legal. What then happens if, I guess, all that is accounted for,
mm-hmm,
and you are bribed, oh, they're asking for a bribe, mm-hmm, this is South Africa. This is South Africa. I'm not talking, I'm not making up things.
No.
You are stopped and umuntu out of nowhere. And see, some kind of money called drink.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's like how, you know. Or maybe you might have actually broken the law, maybe passed the red robot, mm-hmm, like you're saying, it's mm-hmm, at night, you're scared of stopping, you just look quickly, you continue.
Mm-hmm.
And they stop you. And in order for you not to be fined, you need, well, they are saying you better cough up something. What do you do?
Look, as you have indicated, this is South Africa, and you cannot run away from the fact that bribery is real. It is happening. Corruption is just all over.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. And unfortunately, we, being the drivers, are perpetuating this crime. And you must never do that. We must, if you are on the wrong side of the law, all what this person has to do is just to produce a ticket or a booklet, give you a ticket. Then you go and pay that ticket.
I'd much rather demand a ticket,
yes,
than part with 20
exactly
rand.
You know what? Because, unfortunately, if you take part into, you being the driver now, somebody comes and asks for a bribe from you. You take part now, you are taking out 20 rands or 50 rands. You're also part and parcel of this bribery. You're
actually a crime.
Yes, you are part of the crime. You're actually breaking the law, because now there is a corruptor and a corruptee. The person who's asking the money is a corruptor, then you are the corruptee, because now you are corrupting them.
100%,
you understand?
100%.
Now you can actually be charged if it happens that you are caught. All what you have to do is try to make sure that, as I said, this person would have maybe identify themselves, be it to a badge or an appointment certificate, take their particulars. If you are able to can take the particulars of the motor vehicle registration numbers, take those details. Go to the police. Report this person. I remember not long ago in Protea, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere in Johannesburg, there's a traffic officer who lost his job because of 10 rand. The person demanded 10 rand as a bribery. And the driver said, no, I cannot take this lightly. The person went to police station. He reported the person, got fired for 10 rand.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. So if we as drivers can really stand up and make sure that we take reasonable steps for such things, this conduct will stop. It will definitely stop. So do not just say, because the person is asking for a bribe, therefore just give them bribe.
No, 100%. No, no. Yeah. While you're hearing the voice of Phineas Mokoena, he is so lucid. It's not even funny. But let's take a break. After this, we're going to continue the conversation.
Bringing you the facts, handing you your rights. This is Law Focus.
It's almost 10 minutes before 8 o'clock this evening, and you are tuned into VFM 8.1. My name is Millicent Ndiweni. I am your host for Law Focus this evening. And with me in studio is legal practitioner Phineas Mokoena, and he's basically giving us a lot of information that, the truth be told, we don't know about, unless you are a lawyer like he is and you specifically work with, you know, people who get arrested and you have to do bail applications, those kind of things. You probably don't know this information that we are talking about. It's very important for the festive season that you listen to the podcast of this show and make sure you take down notes and then put into practice these things. We're going to put an end to some of the nonsense that happens in South Africa. So, clubbing, partying, chilling, kadibia is a culture in our country. Then an assault breaks out. What is the responsibility of the people who are observing the assaults? Maybe let's start there. What is their responsibility?
You know what? I would say that all you have to do, let's say you're at a club or at a party, immediately you see such a situation, just alert the owner of the club or the party that there's this situation that is taking place outside. Do not try to intervene yourself. I'm working for Legal Aid South Africa. About 90% of the murder cases that we do emanate from parties, clubs, people were fighting over a beer, people were fighting over a girlfriend or some petty things, you know, that type of a thing. So that is why I always say to people, do not intervene. And people just get stepped for no reason. Because the person was trying to intervene, trying to stop the fight, then they are the ones who get hurt. So just try to alert whoever is responsible for the parties, I say, or the club. Or just walk away. And another major important thing, call the police.
Law enforcement
agencies. You'll find that you'll be able to avoid a lot of things before people step. Because remember, it doesn't just, a person, in most cases, people do not just produce knives or firearms and start shooting. It will always start with an argument, fist fight, or, you know, that type of a thing, open hands. Then it leads to knives or firearms. So you'll find that if you had acted swiftly by calling, as I say, the owner of the party or of the club, or in alerting the law enforcement agencies, or which is the police, you could have avoided that.
So even as an owner, if you are an owner of a club, or there's a party at your house, the right thing for you to do then, as the person who is in charge, is also to then call the police.
Exactly.
Because your life is also in danger if you try and stop it, right?
Your life is also in danger. Just call the police in order to try to avoid a lot of things or problems. If we can do that, I'm telling you, really, we can really save a lot of lives.
Mm.
But people just think, no, I know this guy, you know.
It's my friend.
He's my friend. I can be able to can intervene. I can stop this fight. Then next thing, it just ends in a tragedy.
Right.
It really, I'm telling you, it's real. It happens more often than not. We work with these things.
What about in domestic violence situations? I mean, this is a very... What's the word? I mean, it's such a real problem in South Africa. And is the same advice applicable? Don't be involved. Don't involve yourself between marital, you know, whatever is happening between two people. Is the advice the same? And then further, if it's an emergency, it's an urgent matter that needs to be resolved, and there's chaos, whatever the chaos is.
Mm.
Is there a different way that the law
will deal with the matter during the festive period, or the procedures is the same as during the rest of the year?
Thank you. Let me first maybe try to give examples of domestic violence, because, you know, people sometimes may not understand what is domestic violence. Domestic violence involves the following: assault, be one partner assaulting the other, financial abuse, you know, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, sexual abuse, you know, those factors that I've mentioned, they all contribute to domestic violence, you know. And let's not forget the fact that presently we are commemorating 16 days of activism of no violence against women and children. Even, I always say, even the disabled, you know, be it mentally or physically. So, and the stats have proven that the people who are perpetuating these offenses are men. I mean, it's given, it's there. Stats, statistics are clear. So, people, especially the women, as well as children,
the vulnerable
ones, you know, it really pains me. They must make sure that they take action to stop such incidents. It's just that people, you know, keep on saying that, oh, things will come right, you know, that, no, it's because he's drunk today, tomorrow he'll be okay. What will follow next? It is a coffin, a person will be dead. So all what you have to do is to make sure that, go to nearest police station, or call the police. 10111 is there.
And I'm guessing you don't have to wait for the victim / survivor to be the one who does it.
Yes.
If I'm there and I observe this in the home,
yes,
I can, as a third party, be the one who takes action.
You are raising also a very important point. You also have to actually make sure that you do something as a third party. Call the police. You can feel that, no, something is not, something is happening here at the neighborhood. Just call the police. They will come and then they will attend to it. This person who's doing that, whether it's a woman or the man, one of them, the one who's troublesome, is the one who will be taken away. He'll be arrested. And as I've indicated when we started the show, the courts will not be closed. The courts will still be functioning.
Yeah.
If it happens today, the following day, go to court. Apply for a protection order against this person. Then the court will give you an interim protection order same day, the so-called temporary, if I can use a simple word,
yes,
temporary order. At the same time you apply, then the person whom you're applying against will be given a return date whereby he must come or she must come to tell the court why this order must not be made final. And immediately when there is a final order now, then a warrant of arrest goes out. It goes to the nearest police station. Should he proceed with whatever he or she is doing, then the person gets arrested.
Right.
So the law is there. Our courts are there. Let's make sure that we make use of these facilities.
100%.
You know.
Well,
yeah,
we have run out of time, but definitely we did say we're going to give out the national hotline for legal aid
so that
people... Or any other ways that we can contact, is it possible? If it's not possible right now, we will make sure that it's part of the podcast.
Please.
And we will include that information there,
yeah,
so that people can have it on speed dial.
Yeah, because unfortunately I do not.
We don't have it with you at the moment.
Yeah, it's,
no, it's fine. We'll find that information and we'll make sure that you do get it. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank
As
you
I
so
said
much.
Earlier on, I'm so honored to be part of the last show of the year 2019.
Yeah. No, hopefully we invite you again next year. I think
yes,
you're really excellent at this stuff. You know your work. You really know your work. And I think after speaking to you, everyone feels, yeah, I've learned something. You know, I've
really
learned something. It's you simplify it. It's beautiful. So I hope that the listener has also gotten something for themselves about how the precautions that we should be taking during and even prior and after the festive period. And hopefully these are things that we can just, you know, continue going with throughout the course of the year. And that was Mr. Phineas Mokoena. He's from Legal Aid South Africa, and that was him who was with us this evening. Our podcasts are available iono.fm. Otherwise, visit vits.journalism.co.za/law. The Voice of Hip Hop is up next. don't agree a little bit. And from my side, I'd just like to say thank you so much for the year. I think every Tuesday between 7 and 8, we have tuned in and you have been listening, whether it was all the time or, you know, just when you could. And we'd like to invite you to be part and parcel of this show again next year. We're going to be back in around January, February, and we're going to be continuing the radio journey together with you. We thank you for engaging with us. We hope that we will engage even more again in the coming year. Thank you for always tuning in. We're wishing you from the Law Focus team a lovely and safe festive season. May it bring pure joy and blessings for you, your friends, and your family. From our producer, Simba Honde, our technical producer, Mike Mlalazi, our Law Focus researchers, Sisetu Zingelwa, Sihle Monama, Tepo Mohapi, and myself, Millicent Ndiweni. Thank you for tuning into Law Focus tonight. Good night.
Law Focus podcast is also available on iTunes. Search Law Focus.